I'm Mark Gray, and this is Stephen Gray, and welcome to the I Love Weight Loss podcast. Hello, and welcome to another new episode of the iloveweightloss.co.uk podcast. I'm Mark Gray.
And I'm Stephen.
So today I've drafted a few notes on the kind of outline of what I want us to speak about.
Okay, hang on. Who drafted the notes?
So today Stephen's drafted a few notes on what we're going to be talking about. But first things first, I wanted to say thanks for all the feedback we're getting. It's really positive, really good, and it rejuvenates us. It makes us want to record them more and more. So thank you very much. But also, first things first, even more, just to find out what we kind of got up to at the weekend, because contrary to what a lot of people think, we don't live together. We don't speak about...
Well, because we're men, we don't talk about
personal
what we got
things.
Up to, personal things. So we don't necessarily always know
this
what
is
the other one's been up to.
Kind of a catch-up, actually, for us as well, because we're obviously pretty busy. But yeah, anyway, what do you get up to?
I went to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Thought
the face was looking a bit...
No, I went to McDonald's before anyone... loses faith in me and thinks I've gone off the rails. It was always a matter of time, I think. But I went to McDonald's Sunday morning. We were going to do some, me and some friends were going to do some Tough Mudder training. Tough Mudder, if no one knows, is where you're running over obstacles and doing different sorts of things. Actually, we're actually doing the Spartan Race training. So it's Spartan Races for the DVC. So for every client at DVCC, they can do Spartan Race training, and that is kind of building up to eventually, hopefully, a Tough Mudder. Tough Mudder is like a big 12-mile course. So anyway, we went away to a place called Chicksands to train there, and I wanted a coffee to start the day because it was Sunday morning, and I wanted my coffee, but we couldn't find anywhere. So my friend suggested we went to McDonald's because apparently they do a decent coffee. I know it's not organic, so it's not ideal, but I chose to have the coffee anyway that day. So got there. Didn't really know what was going on. I haven't been there for a long, long time. I hit the curb, for one, because those corners are quite tight. And then I started talking to a pole, because I didn't know where I was supposed to take my order. I always remember there was a person you used to speak to. But now I think you speak to a microphone, but I chose the wrong thing and started speaking to a pole, which apparently
doesn't get you the order.
But so I got myself a coffee, but it was quite interesting. And I noted how easy they make it to buy. And I thought that's part of their strategy. And that a lot of people, when you go into McDonald's, it's because you want to grab a quick bite to eat.
It's fast food, right?
Fast food, right? Exactly. And so it's similar to the Amazon one-click thing. The easier they can make it for you to buy, the less second thoughts you have about what you're buying. Now, I also noticed they actually got the calorie amounts next to foods, which I found quite interesting, and like one muffin is enough, like 500 calories, I saw that. I know calories are not always equal, but when they're a muffin,
pretty much
they are equal to other sorts of muffins.
Dead calories.
That was a lot of dead calories, exactly.
Did you have a muffin?
I didn't have a muffin.
Right, okay, so literally just black coffee?
And I actually felt really bad going there because I felt like I should go in disguise or something and have my coffee ready to show if anyone saw me. But I would suggest the only thing to buy from McDonald's would be the coffee if you have to. It was a nice tasting coffee, I have to say. I did check out to see that if there wasn't anything, there was nothing else in there making it taste so good. But no, it was all coffee.
Obviously, you should try and have organic coffee because it is highly sprayed crop. Little side note there. But if you're going to have to go off the rails and you need to grab a coffee, McDonald's do a nice one there.
Yeah.
So nothing else there, obviously.
No, I wouldn't suggest anything else there. But just note that when you're there, that's one of their strategies, is to get you to buy more by making it so, so easy for you. I just found that quite interesting.
And how was the Tough Mudder training?
Oh, I was sore the next day.
Right,
but
running
up
and down
hills. Good. And I'm really looking forward to it, because I think we're going to do that with, we're going to do a special outing there at one stage.
What? Chicksands?
Chicksands. Just, I think for everyone that wants to take part, we'll just go over there one day and do some training there, because I just think it'd be fun.
And you know what, we'll probably, obviously for DVCC clients, I guess, obviously, but open up to all podcast listeners as well. If you're around the area, we'll announce it and you can
Milton
come along.
Milton Keynes or Bedford.
Yeah, Milton Keynes, Bedford, Cambridge, you can come across from there. America. We have listeners in America. So if you want to, if you're taking a trip to London, was that Australian?
That's Australian.
Then you can come along too. Anyway, let's move on. So I wanted to talk menopause because the average age of a DVCC client is 42. And therefore, menopause is something we have to encounter a lot. We know a fair bit about, and obviously it affects a large proportion of our clients. So we thought...
But even if you're a man, you'll probably know someone that it affects. And it possibly, if it's not an easy one, then it will affect you too, if you're the man.
True. And, you know, I remember when my mother obviously went through the menopause and things, I remember... The things that she had to encounter because of it. So I think this will be very helpful for you if you are heading towards, going through, or have even been through the menopause.
Hmm. So what? Let's talk about what the main things that women encounter from our perspective when they're going through the menopause. And first off, I want to talk about weight around belly area. So what happens is a lot of... women particularly find that they start storing weight around their stomach when they didn't necessarily before, or even if they did, it seems to be more pronounced now. And I think people don't understand that there's a reason for this, and that is because when you go through the hormonal changes that happen mean that you become more insulin resistant. Basically means you're less able to handle, if you want to put it basically, less able to handle carbohydrates, particularly processed sorts of carbohydrates, and you're far more likely to store fat around your stomach as a result.
And this is obviously, and if you are going towards the menopause, I'm sure you're experiencing this right now and you'll know about this. So this is, I reckon 90% of ladies when they come in and they're at that age where they are experiencing the menopause, that is one of the main... I guess annoyances with it is that it makes them store fat around their stomach.
Right, and when you say there is age-wise, it can be really from a much younger than it was previously in the past. So it used to be sort of people didn't start even thinking about it until 45, 50-ish, but now it can come forward a lot more. So don't just think that it's related just to, you know, a certain age, but the hormonal changes actually happen they can start from 35 onwards. So
let me just quickly apologise for that telephone that Stephen did turn off at the base, apparently. I apologise for Stephen's incompetence, I think that's the right word there. But anyway, yeah, so that is one of the main... symptoms of the menopause is fat storage around the stomach. So another one, and obviously
you can do about it now.
Okay, what can you do about it?
Well, being that it's caused mainly by having too much or being not able to handle insulin, the most effective way to really counter that is to eat a much lower, certainly processed carbohydrate diet, but overall a much lower carbohydrate diet, so that what you want to do is to really eat as much fiber as you can be eating. Fiber comes from a lot of vegetables, green leafy vegetables, and if you are going to eat carbohydrate, you want to make it what we call low GI. So rather than having white potatoes or white pasta, then you want to have having things like sweet potatoes, because they are a lot lower GI, so they're far less likely to store as body fat, and they don't raise your insulin as much. And another thing that women generally tend to be scared of is fat.
Right, that's for sure.
And the thing with fat is that it really regulates your blood sugar. So if you're becoming more insulin resistant, which you know you can't really help, it's going to be happening. By having more healthy fat in your diet, your blood sugar is going to be a lot more regulated, so that your insulin levels don't rise, and you're far, far less likely to store fat around your stomach.
That's one of the, actually, like, across, even if you're not anywhere near the menopause, as a lady, generally, you're probably having too little fat, and, like, the whole low-fat diets kind of thing.
Actually, and as men, because of all the marketing that goes on TV, people are really, really scared of fat. So the number of adverts there are that say low fat or, you know, no saturated fat, when people actually don't realize that saturated fat all depends on with good or bad saturated fat, because saturated fat from a coconut is far more healthy, or is actually very healthy for you, comparative to saturated fat from a McDonald's hamburger.
True, and one of the main symptoms of a low-fat diet is a lack of sex drive, both in males and females. So that's you can, and that's really apparent as you get older. You need to have healthy fat to be able to regulate pretty much all of your hormones.
Mm-hmm. So basically, the way to try and minimize any fat storage around your stomach, or actually get rid of it, would be to increase the amount of fiber you have in your diet. It's the easiest way is to eat loads and loads more green vegetables. Basically, you can't overeat vegetables.
No, there's no green way. Ones.
And no one ever put on body fat from eating too many vegetables.
And when you say green vegetables, you mean green vegetables, leafy not green. Carrots. Green leafy vegetables, kale, cabbage, that kind of stuff.
Exactly, broccoli, all those sorts of things. They're the most fibrous of the vegetables. And also, because what you're trying to do is raise that amount of fiber you have in your diet. So if you wanted to take any sort of extra fiber, you can get it in powder form, then that's okay as well. But that really what you're trying to do is increase the amount of fiber you have in your diet and really regulate your blood sugar so that you're not raising the insulin, so you're not going to store fat around your stomach.
And if you are going to take a fiber supplement, just be aware that you want to start off with a low amount and then gradually increase, because it can be an irritant. So just start off low and gradually increase.
And always try and rotate it. Don't try and stick to the same one the whole time, because you can become intolerant to fiber very quickly.
And when he says, when you say the same one, you could, it's different brands, basically. You rotate different brands because they'll always be slightly different.
Exactly.
All right, so fat storage around the stomach, sorted, done. What's next? Another symptom.
Probably, from my experience, and I know your experience, lack of good quality sleep. Now, this can be caused by a lot of women find when they start going through the menopause or go through it, that their magnesium levels deplete. And magnesium is really, really important for quality of sleep, or actually getting to sleep. It actually is very important in also being able to handle stress. So what can happen is that you find that the things that you're able to handle, you know, a few years back cause far more stress for you now than they did. And you can't understand why, why you can't tolerate them as much. But with lower levels of magnesium, you actually can't handle stress the same. So that's why sleep quality can diminish. Obviously, things like hot flushes and things like that can actually wake you up at night. But we'll talk about that in a moment. But sleep quality is very, very important. And it's actually really important for fat loss as well. Because if you're not getting good quality sleep, then your insulin resistance again can go up and you'll find it much harder to lose fat.
It's true. And literally, I know certainly in dealing with lots of clients that by fixing their sleep, you can actually get them through either they're not able to lose body fat, even though they're eating, you know, what seems as perfectly, but they're not sleeping. And sleep is a massive deal, right? You can't lose body fat generally if your sleep is not good. And they use sleep deprivation as a torture. So that kind of tells you everything, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so again, yeah, and with lack of sleep, you then become more stressed. So it's kind of a vicious circle.
So to fix that, you obviously your mineral depleted, magnesium depleted, is one of the reasons you can't sleep. How do you fix it?
Well, the easiest way would probably be to take a good quality magnesium supplement. So what you want to do is try and find it's called chelated, basically means bound with something else, but you want to find a chelated magnesium. What you'll see is if you go and you can quite easily buy magnesium oxide, don't get that. All that'll do is help you go to the toilet more freely.
Right.
But that's a low quality and that won't actually help you sleep. So try and find a magnesium chelate, it's called. It might cost slightly more than the value Tesco versions, but it's going to actually have the effect that you want.
Right. And this, like, I take magnesium all the time, and I'm obviously not going through the menopause, but with exercise, you deplete magnesium as well.
That's right. So when you're exercising, when you're stressed, you deplete magnesium. So it's important for a lot of people to replace it anyway. But at that particular time, around the menopause, it's important to probably take it more than any other time.
Okay, simple, actionable step there for you. Okay, so let's go to the next point on your list.
Probably the last one to talk about, or the one that affects a lot of people negatively, is hot flushes.
Yeah.
Where I'm told you get very, very warm, red, and you just can't control it.
This is generally at night, right?
Well, it can happen any time of day, actually, or night. We talk about it at night because it can wake people up, so then that can affect the sleep as well.
Now, I completely understand, like, that would be a really, I guess, negative kind of experience to have, and can be quite impactful on I guess, confidence as well, really.
On everything. You don't know when it's going to happen, so... and I've spoken to a lot of ladies about it, and I know it is quite a hard thing to have to get through, and for men it can sound like no big deal, but I know I've spoken to enough, and obviously I've trained enough ladies who have had to go through that to know that that can be quite, well, annoying is a light word of saying it, but you know, can be a real negative. So one thing I found that's very effective with helping with the symptoms, if not clearing them up, is a vitamin E. Now, it's been shown to be very beneficial for hot flushes, but it's important that you get the right sort.
Right.
So you can get different types of vitamin E. They're basically different types of what we call tocopherol. Now, again, it's very similar to the magnesium thing. You can quite easily get the wrong sort and then say, oh, it doesn't work, does nothing for me. And I've actually had that where I said to someone to get some, and they got the wrong sort, which was alpha tocopherol, which is, again, the cheaper version. And a lot of supplement companies try and palm you off with basically the stuff that doesn't do anything, the cheaper, and this is alpha tocopherol. So what you really want to be looking for in a vitamin E supplement is gamma tocopherol, as making up the most of it. There's other forms as well, delta and things like that, but gamma wants to be the most.
And just a side note, if you obviously were speaking this and you're listening to it, this is all, we're getting this all written up. So if you need the spelling of these, or the supplements, or of gamma tocopherol, for example, then just check out iloveweightloss.co.uk, and it's all written there, so you'll be able to find it from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is really effective. Gamma tocopherol is the one you want.
Okay. And like, I 100%, that makes a massive difference. It's amazing when you suggest that to a lady, and she's obviously been experiencing these hot flushes, and just simply starts taking that vitamin E, and it sorts them out. It's a natural occurring...
Naturally occurring.
So exactly, as opposed to having to take, you know, synthetic drugs that doctors would give
hormone replacement therapy and things like that.
Exactly. You can do it naturally.
Not always.
Exactly, not 100% of cases.
But what you want to do is try and go the natural route as much as you can. And then, you know, if you have to, then you have to. But what you're looking for is the natural ways of doing things.
Yeah, always. It's always better. So, all right.
Well, I want to mention a couple of things which I think will possibly make a few women love me, which are two things that you can do that will really help with menopausal symptoms.
Okay, and it's all about getting women to love you. So, number one,
you can eat 70% dark chocolate, or 70% plus dark chocolate, daily.
Right. Can I, or is this just for...
No, not you. No, so, basically, the antioxidants that are within 70% and above dark chocolate have been shown to be very beneficial for menopausal symptoms. So, by eating them daily, you'll find that your symptoms should be lessened. Now, there is a couple of caveats with that, the way you do it. So the most effective way to get the benefit from it would be to grate the dark chocolate,
right?
Okay, so it's grated. You then put it on your tongue and press it against the top of your mouth. Now, sounds a bit kooky, but it gets into the bloodstream a lot quicker. So all of the benefits you'll find happen a lot quicker. So now... Also, I should mention, before someone goes to green and blacks and dominates the whole factory, you stick to about 100 grams a day.
Right.
Have as many times throughout the day, but stick to 100 grams.
That's still quite a lot, isn't it, 100 grams?
More than enough, particularly with dark chocolate. But like I say, put it on your tongue, press it against the top of your mouth, and that will be where you get the real benefit.
Goo souffles and things won't do the same thing.
Possibly not. Not right. The same.
Okay. Good. Nice one.
And then the other thing, which is probably a lot easier and more, even more exciting for some people, would be you may have Spanish red wine daily. Now, the reason it's Spanish is because it contains a lot more of a antioxidant called resveratrol, which has been very much shown to be very beneficial for actually for men as well, but
anti-estrogen.
Exactly, but for women, it's very effective for around the menopause.
Now you can buy this in a pill form, can't you?
You can buy it. In
well, it's more and more available. Actually, we've taken resveratrol 5 years ago. Was the first time ever, perhaps, as an anti-estrogen for us.
Mm-hmm. It's an expensive substance,
but it's very expensive. That's right, and obviously, a lot of people like drinking wine, so I guess
one to two glasses
in the evening, is going to be a good switch for them of something they already do anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, and it should be noted, one glass is better than two for fat loss. But we're talking about helping with menopausal symptoms right now. We're not, just focusing solely on the fat loss. But you know, by decreasing the symptoms, you'll find that everything else should improve anyway. But so it's the resveratrol within the Spanish red wine which is the effective part which makes the difference. So just to go over those, 70% and above dark chocolate,
yep,
and Spanish red wine, two things that have been shown to be beneficial for women around menopause.
Okay, good. That's decent from you, Stephen. Decent from you. You clearly know a little bit about it. So, got any more points? Because I think we've given quite a few actionable points for you, the listener, to implement or even to tell people that, are coming up to menopause or going through the menopause, or if it's yourself that is, then check these out. And like I say, check out the written version, the transcribed version on iloveweightloss.co.uk. A cool little graphic on there as well. I hope you like it. But yeah, if you need the spellings of things, just check that out and it's all written down there. Anything further to add, Stephen?
Not from me. I think hopefully that's helpful for a few people.
Okay, great. So if you like this, if you found it helpful, please do comment below. I've hooked it up with Facebook, so you can comment on the blog and it will, with using your Facebook account, or if you don't have a Facebook account, just comment on there. You can put your comments at the bottom. But I really, really appreciate your feedback and it helps us a lot. So until next week, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.